Welcome to the Victory of the Lamb podcast. We are a simple, straightforward Bible-teaching church located in Katy, Texas. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to stop by anytime. Otherwise, we hope you use this podcast to grow in your faith and be confident in sharing that faith with many. You can find us online at votl.org. We hope you enjoy this message. God bless your week. Everybody likes a rags to riches story. There's many of them out there to be told. One such story has to do with a man named Chris Gardner, who lived a few years ago and had a troubled childhood, in and out of poverty, rough upbringing, got married, that all broke apart, and there he was, no job, evicted, nowhere to go, just him and his five-year-old son in and out of shelters. That's when Chris Gardner decided that he could provide himself with a better life if he had determination and stick-to-it attitude. And so he applied for many jobs, and finally he got one, an internship for a broker. But they told him, "You're not getting paid. You're just an intern." Well, he didn't take that as a no, and he kept working hard. And even though many other hurdles came his way, eventually he became a millionaire. There's a movie with Will Smith as a star, came out a bunch of years ago, that's the storyline, based on a true story. Rags to riches. We love those stories. And yet, perhaps there's just as many, if not more, stories that we identify more closely with of the opposite trajectory. Riches to rags. Those aren't such fun stories to tell. Those aren't such fun stories to live. Today in the pages of Scripture, we meet a man who was very much a riches to rags story. And what would he say as he is sitting in the middle of his devastation, as he is rags, as he has lost it all? What would he say? What would he think? How could he cope? The man is a man named Job, who lived almost 4,000 years ago. And the words that he said, which are our focus for the sermon verses this morning, are the words that provided the basis for the hymn we just sang, "I know that my Redeemer lives." So let's drill deeply into his heart, why he said what he said, why he thought what he thought, someone who went from riches to rags and coped with it in a way that worked. First of all, you need to know Job's background, why he had riches. And not just riches where he was above average or noble class, upper middle class type guy. He was probably the wealthiest man in the world at the time of his life. A billionaire. Thousands and thousands of animals. Hundreds of thousands of acres. Thousands of servants to take care of all of that. Only God could calculate Job's net worth. And yet, he went from riches, incalculable riches, to rags, all within the span of a day, maybe even within the span of an hour. One servant came to tell him, "You've lost all your sheep, and I'm the only servant who survived to tell you." And then as that servant was still speaking, another one came to say, "You've lost your oxen and donkeys and all the servants taking care of them. I'm the only one who survived to tell you." And as that servant was still speaking, he heard that he had lost all of his camels, thousands of them, and the servants taking care of them. The only servant that escaped to tell him was that one right there talking. And then, as if all of that weren't enough, losing 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 1,000 oxen and 500 donkeys, just like that. The worst was yet to come, as Job heard the message, "Your children, all of them, were dining in the same house, and a storm came, the house is flattened, all your children died, and the servants waiting on them. I'm the only one that escaped to tell you. 10 grown children, dead, gone. Now it was just Job and his wife. Instead of a family of 12, they had a family of 2. Job responded initially upon all of that tragedy and shocking news. Riches to rags. He said, "Naked I came into my mother's womb. Naked I will depart. May the name of the Lord be praised." He still praised God in spite of that terrible day. But as you read the rest of the book of Job, I just described for you a summary of Job chapter 1. And in chapter 2, he loses his health, so the rags get even more difficult to bear. The rest of the book, most of it, is, as one Bible scholar says, like watching a man bob up and down in the sea. You're on shore watching this guy swimming way out there, and sometimes he looks like he's overwhelmed and he's under for a while, and you're not sure if he's going to make it. You're wondering, is that guy drowning out there? But then other times, he pops up, and he starts fighting against the waves and doggy paddling as much as he can. And so you think, okay, he's fighting. He's got a chance. Up and down, up and down, up and down. There you have the book of Job. I already told you how he handled the news right away. On and up, fighting the waves, trusting in God. Naked I came, naked I'll depart, may the name of the Lord be praised. But then in Job chapter 19, the start of the chapter that the sermon verses are a part of for today, these are some of the verses that he says. He has friends come to visit him who are really more trouble than help. And about his friends, he says, "How long will you torment me and crush me with words?" Doesn't seem like he's very happy with them or anything. About God, he says, "Though I cry violence, I get no response. Though I cry for help, there is no justice." His fist is in the air towards God, isn't it? In this moment of grief. With his family, he says, "My breath is offensive to my wife. I am loathsome to my own family." Seems like it was a pretty common thing in Job's life at this point in time, where he would walk into the room and others would go to the other side of the house. "Even the little boys scorn me. When I appear, they ridicule me." I'm very sure that Job, as the wealthiest man in the world, was used to walking someplace and all the little boys going, "Oh, there goes Job. Whoa, we saw him." And now they scorn him, they ridicule him, they mock him, because he's so disfigured and in rags. "I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped only by the skin of my teeth," Job says. And it sure seems like he's submerged in the water and he's not ever going to come up for air again. I just summarized for you Job chapter 19, verses 1 to 20. So what's coming next? Job 19:23 is the first section of our sermon verses for today. Job says, "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever." Now let's just push pause. And I want you to guess what's coming next. What do you think Job would say next? We might think he would say, "God is a liar. God was leading me on. He gave me all these riches, but he's like a kid that lets you build a tower knowing he's going to knock it over and then scornfully watches you cry. God is someone who I keep crying out to for help, but he's like the person sitting next to me on the airplane who I sit down and puts the headphones on, closes their eyes, leans against the window, and they clearly don't want me there. Definitely not to poke them on the shoulder and say hello. You might think that that would be what Job wanted recorded forever. Bitterness towards his rags, bitterness towards the God who allowed them. But instead, what does Job say? Verse 25, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Job announced for everyone to hear for all of time, and here we are talking about it 4,000 something years later in a totally different country than where Job had lived. I know my Redeemer lives. Never mind riches to rags. Never mind rags to riches before that. I know that my Redeemer lives. Those things, whichever way it's going, it's just a cycle. It's just for a time. What isn't just a cycle is that my Redeemer lives. The Redeemer was a technical term, someone who was a relative who would buy you out of trouble if needed. For example, if you were up to here in debt and needed to be enslaved for some reason, your Redeemer would pay your debt and end your slavery. If you were legally obligated for something and you had no way to defend yourself, you had nothing to help the situation, your Redeemer would be your advocate. He would go to bat for you. He would have your back. He would be your mediator between the law and you and help out in that way. Job says, my Redeemer, the one who bought me out of slavery, lives. My Redeemer, my advocate, who's always got my back, he lives. In the end, he will stand on the earth, and that means in the end, I will stand on the earth too. In the end, he will conquer death, and that means in the end, I will conquer death along with him. Because he lives, I also will live. That was the main point of Job. In his heart, in spite of the shocking fall from billions to nothing, we do well to ask God to give us that same heart. Has God changed since the days of Job? If he can give Job faith like that, can't he also give you faith like that? The sin in our heart opposes it, though. The sinful side of us starts by saying, hey, God, you owe me. You owe me rags to riches every time. Don't you know how nice I am? Don't you know how hard I work? Don't you know the spotlight's supposed to be on me, not you? Where are my rags to riches? And we get really angry with God if it doesn't happen like that. We demand that it shouldn't just be a cycle, this rags to riches. What's worse, when we pray to God, try to connect with him, engage with him, listen to his word, too often our sinful heart lets feelings drive. Feelings of judgment against God or others or situations instead of his truth. That's when you end up saying things like, I am miserable, therefore God is against me. I have some losses here, therefore these losses are eternal. Never mind what God says in the Bible. What my feelings are saying right now in the moment is the big deal, as though they were eternal. They're not. But our sinful side believes that to be the case. And if you are wrapped up in all of that I just described in the sinful heart, you know where you end up? You end up saying, I've got to be my own Redeemer. When I'm in slavery, I've got to pay the price. No one's going to have my back. No one's going to be my advocate. I got to be my own advocate. But that's really scary, difficult, overwhelming, impossible. The very notion that you or me mere human beings with a small amount of information and ability could be our own Redeemer, will send us crashing down into the sea. But that's why verses like this are so powerful to drink in. Because we don't have to be our own Redeemer. Our Redeemer lives, and His name is Jesus. You want to talk about riches to rags, rags to riches story? How about Jesus? Riches to rags came first. Do you know what it's like to be the centerpiece of heavenly glory? Yeah, me neither. But Jesus does, and He gave it up. He gave it up for a painful life of difficulty and eventually a cross. He gave it up. Riches to rags, willingly, knowing what He was getting into, so that He then could carry our sin to the cross as our Redeemer, rise from the grave as our advocate, and always be that for us. He stands upon the earth because of resurrection morning. He will always stand upon the earth because of resurrection morning. It's never going to change. It's always going to be this way. Riches to rags, just a cycle for Jesus. Rags to riches, not just a cycle for Jesus. He's sitting at God's right hand, and He will always be there as the heavenly glory centerpiece. This means everything for us on Easter morning. This is how we want to identify ourselves. Not by riches to rags. Look at me, I'm miserable in my rags. Not even by rags to riches, not the earthly kind, because that's just for a time too. Those are just cycles. But when we say, I am a Christian, I am someone who lives in Easter joy and glory, I am someone who will live even though I die, because Jesus lives even though He died, and I belong to Him. He's my Redeemer. That's not just a cycle. That's not going to come and go. You're not going to have good days and bad days with that. It really makes all the difference in the world, seeing yourself with that identification. It helps us to stay balanced instead of being full of ourselves. When we get some of those rags to riches upticks, sometimes we do get more wealthy than we were before, or our health is increasing better than it used to be, or some other uptick in life. What a gift of God. Enjoy it. Thank Him for it. But don't set your heart on it as though it's not just a cycle. Because it is just a cycle. It's just for a time. That earthly joy is temporary. And then, of course, the other side. Don't be flattened when you go from riches to rags. Don't blame God as though He's not on your side anymore. Don't be thinking for even one second that you've got to be your own Redeemer here, because you can't be. Let Jesus' Easter message help you to identify with Him and His resurrection victory when those riches to rags times come, because it's just for a time. The tears are only temporary. The pain is only for a little while compared to the eternal glory Jesus has lived, died, and risen to give you. The hymn we just sang, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, based on the words of Job 19, captures so many of those thoughts within the verses. Here are a couple of them. Think about what we have to look forward to. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. Think about that when you're enjoying some earthly upticks. They're just for a time, but the mansion Jesus is preparing for you is not. And then when the difficulty rears its ugly head, He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. Even though rags to riches is just for a time, even though riches to rags is just for a time, I know that my Redeemer lives, is not. Rejoice in that. Be strong in that. Identify with that. We are Easter people. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. We know your time is precious. Thank you so much for investing some of your time with us today. If you're enjoying this podcast, would you be so kind as to click to follow our show and give us a 5-star rating? That's a quick and easy way to help us get the message of truth out to more people. Thank you so much. God bless your day in Christ.